Thank you. Because five is part of my title of my message this morning, because five is the number of grace, and I love grace. I also found it fascinating to hear the sounds of the Sami people. You sent that little clip, and it came the day after our worship time. And I'm not making this up. There were sounds on that Wednesday night when we gathered for worship. And part of it was the drum. Joel had an anointing on him. He played over here. And when I heard the sounds of the Sami people you sent to me, it was like the night before. So, and I also was really excited when Canada was in the list of countries for revival. And, you know, so this is a very exciting time. I want to, just before my message, I'll probably just give it to you just like this, you know, really fast, but I want to go a few places this morning. First of all, I want to welcome everyone who's visiting. We have people here that are visiting. You are welcome here. We're glad you're here this morning. We have a baptismal service this afternoon at Britannia Beach, and we are excited on many levels for this baptism. I want to give a shout out to my dear sister Nancy. Nancy loves when I do this. But I remember during COVID when we were outside. We went outside when they told us we couldn't sing. We said we were going to go outside. We were not going to cover our faces and not be able to sing. So we stepped outside. I remember that Sunday. It was like electricity in the air. You know, we stepped outside to worship the Lord. And Nancy said to me one day, she said, "Chuck, if you decide to go through the winter outdoors, I will put my parka on." And I never forgot that. I never forgot that because during that time, we lost one computer. I lost my computer out there in the rain, you know, like preaching in the rain. I remember that day. It was actually Valerie's computer, sorry. But I remember preaching in the rain, and that's when I started saying to everybody, we are rain or shine Christians. That's who we are. We are rain or shine Christians. And so this afternoon, if it pours or if the sun comes out, we are going to see, I think, five people baptized. This is the number five again. But anyway, being baptized this afternoon in public. I love public baptisms. I love that there are observers. I went through Tim Hortons the other day. And I had a couple of the interns in my car. Ashlyn was in the front seat, and we're going through Tim Hortons, and the young guy in the window getting our drink, she says, "Do you know Jesus?" Like this. "Do you know Jesus?" You know, and what I learned from that, you know, I think God's working in all of our hearts, and we're less shy than we were. I hope that's the case with you, that you're less shy than you were. This gospel is the best news going. It really is. And I saw this young man in his awkwardness respond. And he said a few things. He said yes, and he there was a little bit of dialogue, but what I saw was a responsiveness. And that's what I'm seeing in this hour, that there is a responsiveness in people. Don't be shy to share the gospel. Fumble through it. Don't worry. I mean, just stumble through it. But definitely share your faith. Definitely share your faith. And if you want to start somewhere, pray for your neighbors. So pray for your neighbors, because that actually softens the ground for when you do share with your neighbor. And I have a beautiful neighbor. I have several neighbors, but so I wanted to start with the welcome. That's really important. I also want to pray for Darren and Jonathan. And I was actually going to dedicate my message this morning. You'll see in a moment why I was dedicating it to Darren and Jonathan Canning, who have just come up to the end of the Camino, and to a town called Soria. Yeah. Anyway, these are Camino pictures, but this is, we're going to go back to this in a moment, but this is a couple of the songs that we'll likely be singing this afternoon, you know, where people walk into the water, you know, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." But I wanted to pray for Darren and Jonathan, because Lydia just told me that there was an update this morning, and they actually, I think they had to take a taxi to the end of the Camino. Darren hurt his knee or something. They were in the town, and probably beyond the town, which was where I started the Camino. It's the last segment of the Camino. And I walked with a group of people from Tyndale University. And then I made my way to France, where Darren and Jonathan began the Camino. And then I walked across the Pyrenees. And so this is the last leg of the race. So I don't know. I haven't read the update. I don't know what's happening with Darren. We want to pray for him right now. I had this wild thought that I would love to go back to Spain and walk that final bit with Darren, you know, if he wants to, once his knee's better. But let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for Darren and Jonathan. We thank you for this journey that they've been on, Lord, this ancient path that they've been following. Lord, thank you for your kindnesses, Lord, through them. Many people have been touched, Lord. You've met many people. They've been impacted, Lord, through this walk. And we just pray that you would uplift them, you would lift them up. And Lord, we pray for a miracle that you would visit them right where they are today, Lord God. Let your hand of blessing, Lord, your encouragement and your strength be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And so here we go. So I want to talk this morning. So the baptism scriptures, that's just to give you an idea of this afternoon and some of the songs that we may be singing. But we're going to go rain or shine. There are so many challenges these days, aren't there? And so that's why the number five is so important to me. The number five, the number that is found in Scripture representing grace. And, you know, there are challenges to unity. Many of us in these days have laid a hold of Jesus' prayer in John 17. And I like it because we all get to participate in unity. Every marriage gets to participate in unity. Every relationship gets to participate in unity. You know, we can be part of the answer to Jesus' prayer in how we draw people and we draw close to people and don't push people away. But there are challenges to unity. I remember someone sitting in my living room and they saying, "Well, you know that those guys they're too loud. You know, like when they're worshiping, they're too loud. You know that." And I have a list of challenges or obstacles to unity. A long list, and the list keeps growing, but that wasn't on the list. And then another brother sits in my living room and he says, you know, Chuck, we don't like the way that they pray. We don't like the way they pray. That wasn't on my list either. You know, the Bible talks about every tongue, every tribe, every nation. You know, the differences are profound, you know, all over the nations. The sounds are different. The people are different. The colors, the languages, everything is different. But God is determined to have a family. And I love it. I love it. When I walked the Camino, one of the phrases that was prominent that we were learning is to be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. It's a great quote, but a famous quote, but to be kind because everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. On the Camino, at the end of the day, you know, the Camino represented, it was like condensing life into like 5 or 6 weeks, you know, of this ancient walk across from over the Pyrenees Mountains from France across northern Spain. And so I remember at the end of the day, we would take off our boots or whatever shoes we wore during the day, and we'd put on sandals or something like that. And I was in a meeting one night, and I looked in front of me, and there was blood on the back of a man's feet, you know, like the back of his feet in front of me. And what I learned from that is that we don't often get to see one another's feet. In fact, we're really private about our feet, you know. And if, in Jesus' day, they washed feet, you know, for good reason, you know. But we don't generally get to see one another's feet. But every single one of us is fighting a great battle. I want you to think about the battles that you're fighting, the battles that are in front of you, the battles that you face right now. You know, someone said that they went to bed one night, they were on top of the world. The next morning they woke up and the world was on top of them. That's how quickly things turn. I mean, for Darren and Jonathan, let's continue to pray for them, you know, and that they would be encouraged and strengthened. But it's got to be difficult. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, let me read this. As he was talking with them, this is David, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. When all the men of Israel saw Goliath, they fled from him in great fear, in great fear. You know, it says that in the end times that men's hearts will faint in fear, in dread. There'll be this heaviness that comes upon the hearts of men. And in 1 Samuel 17 verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine." I love this passage of scripture because he's addressing something here. He's addressing the problem, the situation that was causing great fear. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And 1 Samuel 17, 40, David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. So I'm going to title this the fifth and final mountain range, and I had decided to dedicate it to Darren and Jonathan and commend them on their endurance. This is an endurance. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon to travel 800 kilometers across northern Spain. But you know, after I did my Camino, I came home and I was completing a course with St. Stephen's University, and I was writing a final paper, and I entitled the paper "The Fifth and Final Mountain Range." There are four mountain ranges that span across northern Spain, and this paper that I wrote was called "The Fifth and Final Mountain Range," because five is the number of grace. So I spent a month writing this paper, bringing it together, and every night I would go out and I'd walk just before sunset, and I'd watch the sunset every night for a whole month. I just did this, and by day I wrote. You know, I'd been taking notes and doing things, but I wrote this paper, "The Fifth and Final Mountain Range." And grace is one of my favorite words. The whole idea of grace, what grace symbolizes, what it means, is so powerful. You know, "Amazing Grace," you know, the song is my theme song. I often say it's my marriage theme song, but Val said, we didn't decide that would be our theme song. You know, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. You know, 'twas grace that brought us, you know, safe thus far, and grace will lead us home." But it's the theme song of every believer. Grace is a theme song of every believer. I want this to wash over you this morning, because without His grace... You know, it's like I saw one time a building that had experienced a great move of God, a beautiful move of God had taken place inside a building. And then I saw people that rejected that move, and they said, "No, we don't want this. It's too disruptive. We don't want this Holy Spirit." And then I looked at this building sometime later, and it was like I actually walked inside it, and it was like an empty shell. It just felt like an empty shell. And that's what the Christian life is without His grace. The Christian life is empty without Jesus. It is empty. There is this someone has termed it like a God-shaped vacuum within us. There is this part of us that cannot be satisfied without Jesus. I'm going to get ahead of myself if I talk to you about my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let me do that in a moment. But five is the number of grace. Thank you, buddy. This guy's name is Royal James. I love Royal James, and we'll give a shout out to Royal James. I got two guys in this building that I said I want their names. It's Reinhardt and Royal James. I want their names. Royal James is having a great event coming up in September, and I think we'll have an announcement about this, and we'll also send it out. But you can have a look at this. I think it might already be on our bulletin board, but it will be if it's not already. And speak to Royal James afterwards. I'll be there, and I look forward to another great gathering together with my brother. So five is the number of grace. I have five scriptures that I'm going to quickly look at this morning. You know, these are my life scriptures. I have many, many life scriptures. Life scriptures are those that get that become the nutrients of who you are. They're nutrients that become part of who you are. They just find their place in you. You know, I'm not a critic of people not quoting, you know, verse, you know, chapter and verse. I think scripture should be coming out of us all the time without chapter and verse. Even if we don't even know exactly where it is, it finds its way out of us. And so I want to talk to you from these five scriptures, because grace is what He gives to us, and grace is what we need. Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the wellsprings of life." For from it flow the springs of life. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." This is one of my life scriptures, and I said I have many of them. But as I get older, I am so grateful for this scripture, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord has taught me from this scripture and the things that I've learned over the years. There's an ancient practice called the examen, and this is not all the points of the examen. I'm just throwing up a few of them here, the examen is really about a reflection of yesterday, a reflection, stopping your life long enough to reflect on what has already taken place. It could be a 24-hour period. That's the way I do it, you know, and how the ancient practice did it. You go over the last 24 hours of your life, and we have done this as an exercise, and we will do this again. But when you begin to reflect on the last 24 hours of your life, you will find points where the Lord was wanting to be near to you, where He was drawing close to you, where things happened. But life just sped on, and you went on to the very next thing. and he was there, you know, he was ready to embrace you or to spend some time with you or for you to reflect on what he was showing you, but or showing me. But what we do is we get busy and we get on to the next thing. And this has been a practice that has been such a revelation to me. I love it because you get to go back and live a moment that you really missed. A moment that you really missed, a moment of joy. But sometimes it's a moment of sorrow. Sometimes it's a moment where the Lord is wanting to correct something or do something in your life. Some of you remember my cousin Michelle. Michelle went to be with the Lord far too early, but she left us her car. That's a bit of a joke. Those who knew Michelle loved Michelle, and I loved her. We loved her. I went to the house. There was no one at the house, but the car. Her car was there, and I got the key from the house, and I got in the car, and I tried to start the car, and it wouldn't start. And I sat in that car. This was part of a journey that has been such an incredible blessing to my life, because for 1 hour I tried to start that car, and it wouldn't start. It turned over. Strongly, but it would not start. For 1 hour, I sat in that car. And in my heart, the Lord began to show me some things. And he showed me things from the day before that I had forgotten. And I forgot them because I got busy and I went on with life. But there were three people that got lodged inside my heart. They got lodged in my heart because I was resentful because they did something that bothered me. And it wasn't even big. Come on, I'm going to give you something big in a moment that got lodged in my heart, but these were small things. These were little Piccadilly offenses, you know. These were things that I didn't like. I'm a connoisseur at heart, aren't you? I mean, we connoisseur each other, you know. And so I'm sitting in this car for one full hour, and the car won't start. And in my heart, I begin to think of these three people, and I realize that I have lodged them in my heart. And I remember, I'm just going to bounce from stories, but I remember standing in a kitchen with linoleum floor many, many years ago, and I'm standing, I can picture the floor, looked like paint was splattered on it. It was, I don't know what year they did that, but I'm standing in this linoleum floor, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I do not want to be judged the way I'm judging this person right now. I do not want to be judged the way I'm judging this person right now. Please forgive me. And so in Michelle's car, I unlodged these people. In the 90s, way back, we're old now. In the 90s, there was a man by the name of Jack Hayford. He was on his way to preach a message, and the Lord changed his message as he was going to speak it. He changed his message. So he had a driver drive, and he was in the back seat, and he prepared this message. Became one of the classics. I believe it's a classic in Christianity on forgiveness 101. Forgiveness 101, and it so impacted the body of Christ. It went all over. It impacted my life. It impacted many people. I forgave my dad, and I released him from my heart. And this was part of the message that Jack brought. He said, many of us use our lips, but we do not release from our hearts. Instead, what we do is we have these cages inside our hearts where we lock people up, and every so often we open up the door and we give them one of these. I have sat across from people, and they said, but I forget, you know, and they're telling the story, eh? And they said, but I've forgiven him. But you can tell, like, the venom is still sort of coming up, right? You know? So Jack Hayford taught the body of Christ to forgive, it's actually Matthew 18, but it says, to forgive from your heart. And then he went on to say this. He said, he spoke about the effects of forgiveness. And this is so profound. It's so profound. I forgave my dad. I released him from the expectations I had because he left when I was 12 years old and he wasn't the dad that I wanted him to be, but I always expected him to step up and be that dad every time I see him, you know, and he never did. So these expectations. When I did that, my dad shows up at my door and we were living in Southwestern Ontario. We're trying to do the no TV thing, you know. Did you do that when you're raising your kids? No television, you know. So we're trying to do the no TV thing and my dad shows up at the door with this honking TV. I mean, it was, you know, and we set it up in the living room and watched. I think it was one of the Star Wars movies that just come out or something. It was like being in the theater. Like, it was so big, you know. But this was so uncharacteristic of my father. And Valerie saw it, I saw it, we saw the connection between releasing from the heart, forgiving and releasing these expectations, and what happened in his life and the change that began to happen. Oh, my dad became my best friend. The last 2 years of my dad's life, we became the best of friends. So I'm so grateful for that. So above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. Yeah. Michelle's car? Oh, yeah, that's a good, that's got a great ending. After 1 hour, I decide to go back in the car and I open up a drawer and there's another set of keys. I go out and I go in and the car starts right away. Now, some of you know about cars. That other car was only for the door and, you know, and it has a chip in it that's connected and it will not, the engine will not engage. Thank you. Oh, I love the concept of unlodging people from our hearts. Francis Frangipane said this. He said, the redemptive power of God is released when people forgive each other. Individuals, families, churches, and even the atmosphere of a city can change when pardon is released. When such a display of grace is poured out, principalities and powers are neutralized, without so much as speaking a word against them. It's powerful. The enemy goes nuts. I want every one of you to try it, okay? You got someone, they might not be super lodged in your heart, but you have an attitude towards them, right? I mean, if you don't, tomorrow you will, you know, but that, so you can try this out. It really works. You can try it out at any time. You can try this out. I find what I do with attitudes is I say, Lord, forgive me for my stinginess because I am being stingy in my thoughts towards that person. I'm just being incredibly stingy, and I repent and unlodge that person and that attitude from my heart. A good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart. That's why these five stones are so important. I mean, there are many reasons, you know, people have given why David picked up five smooth stones, but the fact is he had five beautiful smooth stones. And I don't think they went to waste. I'll just leave it at that. But a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks. Now, if you think that I'm lifting up the Bible this morning, if you think I'm encouraging you to read the Bible, if you think I'm encouraging you to get life scriptures inside of you, then yes, you're right. I'm doing that. There is nothing like the scripture, nothing more powerful, nothing, no book, nothing, no other quotes even, nothing but the Bible. The scripture is the most powerful. Hosea 6:3, so let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. This was one of my first life scriptures, Hosea 6:3, so let us know. We were created to know the Lord. That's why you're on planet Earth, is to know the Lord. You weren't created for your job. You weren't created for even your marriage. You were created to know the Lord. First and foremost, you were created. I was created to know the Lord. That's what we were created for, to have a relationship with God. Everything tastes when you have a relationship with God. And without a relationship with God, the best meal can just, you know, leave you sour. You know, it does not taste. But with the Lord it tastes. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. This is an encouragement. This is an exhortation to press in. To press in. Don't give up. Don't give up. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. It's not an hour to faint. It's an hour to press in. Just a little bit of pressing, okay? So I'm giving you a few assignments as we go along. A little bit more pressing. A little bit more pressing. A little bit more pressing into the Lord. A little bit more leaning into the Lord. So let us know. Let us press on to the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. I love this because he is so faithful. I tell you, he is faithful. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. Times of refreshing, we were created to know God. There was a painting in my parents' bedroom, and it was a painting of Jesus, and it scared me. I was a little guy, and I'd go in their bedroom, and those eyes followed me everywhere. I mean, they had, I learned when I was with YWAM, you know, that every spiritual problem we have is rooted in a false concept of who God is. It's rooted in an inaccurate concept of who God is. Corrie Ten Boom in a concentration camp shared her love of Jesus. And she said to a woman, she said, if only, you know, this woman was saying, well, how could God be loving? Look at our circumstances. And Corrie Ten Boom said, if only you could know his love. If only you could know his love. I wasn't going to quote this. I sang it to Val the other day, but I'm going to do it because I said I would. I started to do it, eh? But it's an old song, so I'll just quote it. I won't sing it, but it goes like this. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way. leaving me none the wiser with all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her, sorrow walked with me. You know, we grow most as a Christian in our relationship with God through difficulties, through difficult times. That's where we grow the most. It's like when our kids are growing up and they have these pains, you know. It's a good, you know, and they're growth spurts, right? You know, and this is where we grow in these times of difficulty. So, Isaiah 64, 4, since ancient times, and this just, I read this yesterday, since in Isaiah 64, just in my daily reading, and that's why I encourage you to read the Bible, because you're going to get something every day. You will not be far from a word from God if you read your Bibles. You'll not be far from an encouragement. You'll not be far from an exhortation or even direction for your life if you read the Bible every day. Isaiah 64, 4, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. I told you I was going to talk about my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Peace I leave with you. I tell you, there's no substance. And I did substances, you know. I tell people I packed a lot into a couple of years, you know, but in any case, no substance compares to this peace. I began to experience it at the age of 17, and it is unlike any substance that I ever tried in my entire life. And so Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be fearful. During COVID, we sang this song. It was, I forget the title, but it says, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, you know? And you remember Jesus in the boat, eh? That's one of my favorite stories, eh? Like just snoozing away, you know? Through the storm, eh? Like not really too concerned about the storm. And he's still not too concerned about the storms. He never scratches his head. He never wonders, oh, you know, look at what he's done now. Like, you know, how am I going to fix that? You know, like there's none of that, you know. It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Isaiah 26, 3, he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Because he trusts in him. He trusts in him. And again, it's those difficult circumstances. I squeezed that scripture for every nutrient that was in that scripture during one of the most painful times of my life, where tears were hot. Have you ever had the hot tears? I mean, that's when pain is deepest. And Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is steadfast. It's stayed on you because I trust you. I trust you. I don't know the outcome. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I mean, the disciples, you know, they had a good outcome, right? Peace, be still. 2 Corinthians 3:5, one of my life scriptures, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy comes from God. This is actually one of the most beautiful scriptures and one of the most beautiful thoughts, because I find this to be true in everybody's life, that God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to just work through us. And we complicate it because we try to determine what that's going to look like or what kind of ministry we're going to have, you know. But it's sometimes as simple as crossing the room, you know. It's sometimes as simple as smiling or giving a hug or giving a word of encouragement. And I got to get better at this, is when you get prompted to call somebody, you know. Or you get prompted to pray for someone. And then the answer to prayer comes and they're thanking everybody, but you forgot to pray. Have you been there? Like, I've been there. Oh, how I wish I had prayed for you, you know, when you said pray, you know. But the Lord, you know, he is so gracious and he often gives us more opportunities. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And I never understood this scripture until in recent years I've begun to understand it more and more, that apart from him we can do nothing. You know, there's a lot of activity in our lives. We do a lot. So what does this mean? Apart from me you can do nothing, you know, nothing. Like, we're doing all this. Look at it. Look at everything, Lord, I've done, you know. But the opposite is true, you know, with him. What can we do, you know, with him? What can we do? And he wants to work through each and every one. I so appreciate every single person that I meet. You know, there's something like I'm living in this. I tell people I'm living under the banner of gratitude. I find gratitude welling up more and more. They say that as you grow older, I didn't want to say this part, but they say as you grow older, that your vocabulary should get smaller and not greater. And it should come down to thank you, you know? It should boil down to thank you. And you just begin to live with this gratitude. I'll give you a practice that you can do if you want. And I do this when I almost get hit by a car or when I almost, like, the car almost gets all scratched or something, you know, something that doesn't happen, you know? It doesn't happen. Well, I milk that for a while. I take that through my day and I just express gratitude out of that, you know? Like, I don't just, like, forget about that. I carry it for a while, you know, in gratitude. So Isaiah 26:12, Lord, you have established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. This brings a big smile to my face. I carry a piano around with me, okay, everywhere I go. And I learned this from Keith Green because he was in a move of God where the Spirit was moving and beautiful things were happening. And he climbed under the piano to get out of the way so that he didn't interrupt or you know, he was so not wanting to touch what God was doing, you know, like in an unholy way. And so he got under the piano. And I just feel like this scripture is so humorous, but so beautiful. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Your adequacy is unique, and it comes from God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? Your adequacy is unique, and it comes from God. It's very unique. I appreciate the adequacy in others. You know, one of the things that's just recent for me to appreciate is graciousness, when people are gracious. I was with someone not too long ago, and I had indirectly hurt this person. I felt like my decision was right. I did the right thing, you know, like, and all that. But it hurt the person, eh? Like, they were sort of affected by it. And I met them recently, and actually more than once I've met this person since then. And the graciousness that comes from them. I still feel like I did the right thing, you know, like, but I just, this graciousness, you know, and that's not, we can't do that on our own. We can't be gracious on our own, you know, but 1 Corinthians 12 teaches that we all are gifted, every single one of us. Oh my goodness, I could just go around the room right now. Each and every one is gifted so uniquely and so beautiful, so beautifully. But at the end of the day, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Kevin Prosh, he was a pioneer in Christian music, and he wrote a song, and I sang it, and you sang it, and, you know, if you're old enough, you sang it, but it was a hard song to sing, you know, and it was simply this, and it's the latter part of this, but listen to this, and we can feel the love of God in this place. We believe in your goodness. We receive your grace. We delight ourselves at your table, O God. You do all things well. Just look at our lives. Isn't that beautiful? And I can sing that now. I can sing that now. Because I've been a father, and now I'm a grandfather, and it's not about perfection. You know, it's not about our children just being perfect or, you know. You do all things well. Just look at our lives. The delight of the Father is an amazing thing. Celebrating one another is amazing. Finally, James 1:5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. During COVID, Jehoshaphat and James were my mentors. Jehoshaphat and James. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Remember that scripture? And James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, liberally, lavishly even, it talks about, you know. And I love the wisdom of God. Some people choose words for the year. My words this year are wisdom and peace, because I love when they kiss. I love when I, you know, Ken used to say this. He used to say, you know, we often pray and we add what God says to our list of options. But that's not the way we should pray. We should pray for his wisdom and let it kiss peace and then walk in that. It's beautiful. There's a widespread custom among Jewish people to fill up a cup to the point that it overflows. Let me end with this story. When my kids were really young, we had a two-bedroom. We bought our first house. It was so cute. It was two bedrooms, two little bedrooms. And we had learned that a family raised four kids in this house, two sets of bunk beds in one room, you know. So Valerie and I, it's Saturday morning, we're lying in bed, and we're just, you know, we can hear the kids, you know. Becky and Joel are up, you know. They're getting their breakfast. We can hear the cupboards opening and all that. And then And then we hear these words, you know, we could kind of hear that they what they were doing, you know, they got some cereal and milk and all that. And Joel says to Becky, he says, Becky, Daddy says, be generous. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. That's another translation. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Five smooth stones to go into battle. In Deuteronomy 32:47, it says, these are not just idle words, they're your life. And these words have become life to me. They become life to me. Thank you. And his word becomes life to us. I want his words to be life to you. I want you to commit yourself to his word, to lean into him and to begin to open up the sacred scriptures. And if you would just start somewhere, this is a good way to do it. I'm reading through the Bible right now, just page, 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 just like that. You know, you can do it. There's so many Bible reading programs, but be in the word every day. Every day, let it nourish you, let it speak to you, and let carry something forward from God's word. Deuteronomy 32:47 says, these are not just idle words, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you've never invited him into your life, you've never, and I want to encourage you right now, because a little child can believe. It is that simple. We're going to exhort the ones being baptized this afternoon. We're going to say, this is not, your baptism is not saving you. He saves us. It's by grace through faith that we come into the family of God. And he's inviting people, even this morning. I don't know who's on Zoom this morning, but I know people are sitting here, and I'm asking you, if you have never asked Jesus into your life, if you have never said, Jesus, I'm not even sure. I've got some doubts, you know, right now. I've got some doubts. My life is a mess, or my life is not a mess. And sometimes it's because your life is not a mess. You don't want to turn to Jesus. And yet the Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you would open up your heart and invite him in, he will reveal himself to you. I am so touched by how the Lord reveals himself to people. It's just absolutely amazing. There's no formula here. It's Jesus. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you get into paradise. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me. That's what it's like. My dad just opened up his heart. It was just a little turning. That's all it took, just a little turning towards the Lord. And the Lord came in. You know, it's just, that's what happens, you know. So if you want to do that, I want to pray with you this morning. We can pray with you afterwards as well. We can pray for you. But if you would open up your heart right now and ask Jesus into your heart, then I'm going to lead you in a short prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the life that you came to give us and the life that you sacrificed on the cross so that we can know life, we can have life. So that we could have life that this world cannot give us, that the world cannot satisfy, but you died on the cross, were raised from the dead, and now you live forevermore. And you are wanting to have a family made up of people from all over the earth. And so, Lord, I pray for people here today. And I pray that hearts would open up to you right now, that there'd be an openness. Jesus, just come in. Just that simple opening of our hearts, that opening of the door. Jesus, come in. Bring your, Lord, you come with your forgiveness because you died on the cross for our sins, for the things that have so troubled us and the things that have just been so dark within us. You've come to wash those away. So Jesus, please come in. We invite you in.